Hi, welcome to another part in our series, Start Your Own Business. We are continuing with the discussion of e-commerce, and for the next couple of minutes or so, we're going to focus specifically on startups who are in the starting phase of their business and who want to take things into consideration when they are thinking about e-commerce. I'm Catherine Young. You know me by now. Shopping is really, I love doing online. For those who don't know, I hate malls. I really hate malls. Not my husband, remember. I told you in the last episode about that. But more importantly, we've got Cameron Burt back with us in studio to talk to all those businesses just starting out about e-commerce. Cameron, welcome back.
Morning. Hello, Catherine. Good to be here.
Thank you very much. Really looking forward to our session, talking now, getting a little bit more into the detail of the various phases of a small business and specifically about those starting out. So, Cameron, perhaps you just want to briefly introduce yourself again for those who've watched this for the first time.
Okay, so Cameron Burt, my Twitter handle is at CleverNative. There's a story around that. I'll briefly explain how that came about. When I was setting myself up on Twitter a couple of years ago, all my name, variations of my name had been taken, which I found very surprising because it's quite an unusual name. And so in desperation, I had a book on the desk next to me that had been written by a South African author called Max Dupreer. He calls himself the Clever Native, so I decided I'm going to call myself the Clever Native on Twitter, and it works. So I've taken it, and sorry, Max, but I have now used your name on Twitter for the last couple of years. He hasn't contacted me yet.
This may be an online e-commerce opportunity.
There's a bit of copyright cases going on over here. A bit about Market Door Solutions. It's a small consulting company that I founded and I own, and I consult into large corporations and I help them with their enterprise development strategies. I also have a large amount of retailing experience, and essentially what we're going to be talking about today is how to take retailing into the digital space. So across a wide variety of functions and disciplines within retailing, such as as bizarre as HR management, but I spend most of my time in customer relationship management, marketing, and digital management. Of retailers. So we're going to be talking about retailing in the digital space.
That is fantastic, and Cameron's being very humble, but he really has a very successful career, has had a very successful career, and understands this space really well. So SMEs, I would really encourage you to take some of the tips that I'm sure he's going to share with us. So Cameron, let's start first with the process. So can you explain the whole process overall?
Okay, so first up, okay, when you speak to technology people, the techies, okay, they tend to focus on the technology, and they focus so much on the technology they forget that they have to actually build a business.
Yes.
So what you're doing over here, there's a whole lot of elements that have to be in place before you can just say that I've now got an e-commerce store up and running. So the website is really just one component of your e-commerce business.
Yes.
And do not spend days, hours, months, and years building your website and forgetting about the other elements that are critically important, okay? We'll go into them in a lot more detail, but the four P's that we all studied, we all know about, product, place, price, and promotion, your website is really only your place.
Yes.
So you still gotta worry about product, price, and promotion. So getting a beautiful website done is really just half the battle won.
Yes.
That is just your storefront, and we'll go into a lot more detail about how to build the other elements. If you look at the...
You made a very good point. So website, just the storefront. So picture you walking through your local grocery store. It's just to get inside, right? There's a lot of other stuff that need to happen to actually get you as the consumer to buy and to check out and to consume.
That's okay. Absolutely correct. So if you look at the slide showing the process, the customer, all that the customer sees on that entire slide is the website itself.
Yeah.
And then when the product gets delivered to them. So we've shown a little truck over there bringing their stuff on wheels, but it could be digital. It could be an e-book, it could be a music download, it could be something that's delivered digitally.
Yes.
All the other stuff happens in the background. The customer doesn't need to know that, but they need to know that it is happening and it is secure and it is safe.
Right.
So you as an e-tailer, you've got to think about all of these elements. A web server, having an order management system, a stock database so that in case a customer wants that particular top and you don't have that particular blouse in stock and they've gone through the whole process of ordering, you've got to go back to them after they made the payment, etc. And you say,
yes.
Sorry, I don't have it.
Yes.
You've got to have it in their size and their color, etc. So you've got to have a very good, strong stock management system. You've got to have a warehouse and dispatch process and a merchant system, and then also, of course, a payment system, which is very important, the payment portal. These are all costs that are added to your e-commerce business
yes.
that you've got to consider before you start out. As we mentioned in the previous module,
yes.
price is key in e-commerce because this theoretically should be your differentiator going online, because you can sell stuff
yes.
to customers at a lot lower price compared to the big retailers. They've got a big store in the mall, they've got to pay rentals, etc., etc.
Yes. So very important point. So what I'm hearing you say, if I'm understanding this correctly, the customer who's going to be doing the online shopping, whatever they buy, they literally have their computer, they see your site. That's all they're interacting with. They on the screen, they're using that little computer, and the van, if it is something tangible, will come and deliver it. That's it. All the stuff in the green blocks that we are indicating on the screen, all those things are really behind the scenes that need to be in place to actually have the customer have a proper experience.
That is exactly what this is all about.
Okay.
Something that I haven't shown over here, but which is critically important, there has to be a returns policy.
Yes.
And that builds credibility and builds trust.
Yes.
So if the customer has bought, let's say, a blouse, and it doesn't fit, or she doesn't like it, or for whatever reason, there has to be a very good and robust and simple way of getting that product back to
yes.
to the retailer.
Okay. Another question I wanted to ask you. So the warehouse and dispatch component that we spoke about. So I would imagine you don't have to necessarily set up your own warehouse. You could,
as we mentioned in the previous module, this could be your garage. It could
yes.
be your lounge. It could be your bedroom. Okay. But it is a process that has to be adhered to, and it's something that has to happen, and it doesn't have to be a warehouse as such
yes.
that you have to rent, but it is definitely a,
yes.
a part of the process that
you
has to
space
be
space for boxes.
Yep, yeah. And space for product.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we've got a good understanding of the process. So if you're thinking about setting up an e-tailing solution of sorts, if it's anything physical, you have the additional warehouse and dispatch component. But for the rest of it, you still need a web server, you need order management, you need your merchant service, you need bank computers. I suppose the integration with banks, also payment portals, would be important, and the security around that, as we spoke in the previous module.
That is critical. So there are many payment solutions out there now.
Yeah.
They're really plug and play.
Right.
And they've set themselves up so that they are easy to integrate into your particular
right.
website. And they are secure. So there's many. PayPal, Peach Payments, there's a wide variety of them. Be very careful with which one you go for, though, because there are certainly costs involved.
Yes.
And they have become a commodity, so you can negotiate to a certain extent on volume. So if you're going to be pushing through a lot of volume, a lot of number of transactions, because it's all transaction-based,
yeah.
You can get a better... So pricing on your payment processes and your payment portals are extremely important.
Okay.
To, otherwise, that's going to eat into your
margin.
Into your margin.
Exactly.
Okay.
So good point on that. So when you're setting up your online solution, make sure that you negotiate for your payment portal.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a commodity, and it sounds like that we would have options. Where a year ago... I can remember we were still battling, but I know there's been a lot of traction in the last year or so on payments.
Okay, a further point to note on that is that the transaction costs are not a cost that you can push back to your client.
Yes.
Okay, you have to take that. So that's going to be straight out of your margin. Your delivery costs is quite often something that you can push onto your client.
Yes.
So that doesn't cut into your margin. So be careful about, be aware that it's going to probably take between 3% and 5%. Of your transaction value.
Okay, very good advice to consider. So let's now talk about, I mean, there's online business sounds really interesting. As we are shooting this, I'm really learning a lot, and I'm actually thinking there would be great opportunities, but there must be some unique considerations that you have to take, bear in mind, right?
Okay, so I mentioned before that retailing on the internet is simply just taking your business online, but there are some unique considerations to consider.
Yes.
There's some strategic issues that you really have to consider before you you really start your business. You can evolve as you go along, but it's always better to think of these things before you start.
Right.
I'll go into each one of these in a lot more detail. It's going global versus local. And these are issues that you cannot do with you can do, but it's going to take a lot of money and time and effort, capital, with bricks and mortar, retailing. But these are issues that are unique to online retailing. So going global versus going local, validating your strategy with keyword research, which is something you simply cannot do in putting up a real store. Your monetization strategies, there are various ways and means of making money, not necessarily buying something at a cost price and selling it at a selling price,
yes,
and pocketing the difference, yes, as your margin. There could be commissions, there could be just eyeball strategies. There's a whole lot of strategies. We're going to go into those in a short while.
Yeah.
Defining your minimal viable product. Your product might be a shirt or a pair of shoes that are unique, but it could be something that is a software product that you've built and
yes,
you're now going to sell online.
Yes.
Then, of course, defining your website's personality. As I mentioned earlier, that is your storefront.
Yes.
But the nice thing about having a website as your storefront is that you can change it and you can tweak it and you can make it
That's
a lot more reactive. You can track people's movements on it. You can see whether they like this particular window today or this week, and you can change it. Whereas a real store is a lot more difficult and a lot more expensive to change it, especially when you've got 300 stores across the continent.
Yes. So at a fraction of the cost, you can really have a new store almost monthly if you want.
You can have it daily if you want. And
yeah,
a lot of retailers do that. They see what works, what doesn't work, what is attracting attention, what is working in terms of they do A/B testing, what they call A/B testing. So as defined as a font size, color of the background, they try and test those things. And that all comes through in defining your minimal viable product and defining your website personality.
Fascinating. I can share an example of an SME that we've been working with for a while now. They're an online store for male apparel. As you know, from previous modules that we've shot, I'm much older than the 25-year-olds that this is targeted at. But it's a beautiful online store, and really a large part of their money comes from the advertising revenue. Although very often we say advertising revenue is not the best source of income, they found such a niche for themselves with the blogs that they produce, linked with the right advertisers, that forms almost 60% of their revenue. The rest of their revenue comes from the actual merchandise, fancy belts and fancy canvas shoes that they sell to the young upwardly coming males, you know.
So this is probably a monetization strategy that has evolved as they saw, okay, so this is how it's actually working. The initial strategy was we're going to buy product and we're going to sell it at a profit.
Exactly.
And now they've realized that they're gaining a lot of traction.
100%.
Putting eyeballs to their site so they can now sell those eyeballs to potential 100%. Advertisers. So there's various ways of monetizing your e-commerce business.
Fantastic. And again, SMEs, I would encourage you, so very often we have naysayers who say this doesn't work or that doesn't work. It is so unique for your business, you've got to figure it out for yourself, you know, whether it will work or not. So, okay, let's talk a little bit more about this local versus global.
Okay, so this is one of those unique considerations of an e-commerce business that a hardcore traditional retailer just is going to really struggle to get right, okay? So going global versus going local, okay? So the good thing about going global is that it is so vast, it is so huge.
Yes.
There are so many potential clients out of there that you could be a niche of a niche of a niche.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story about a group of rock climbers. Now, rock climbers are a pretty niche market in their own right.
Right.
Okay. If you think of rock climbers that like doing yoga, okay, meditate on the mountaintops.
Yes.
Okay. That is even more of a niche market.
Right.
And there is a website, there's a company in America that have managed to build a full-on business just targeting a niche market of yoga practitioners in the rock climbing fraternity. Okay, so that is the advantage of going global. It is a huge and a fantastic big market, but you end up being a very little fish in a very big pond.
Yes.
Okay, and of course, when you're a very little fish, you end up getting charred by the sharks. If you want to go that route of being playing to a global audience, you're going to have to probably look at getting the .com or .net domain so that global audiences will have recognize it, and they'll have a certain level of credibility in a .com website compared to a local country website.
Yeah.
You end up with a large customer base, but as I mentioned as well, you end up with a huge amount of competition.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the beast. And then to get your search engine ranking near the top, you know, the worst place to be in life is to be on page two of a Google search engine or a Bing search engine.
Yeah.
So the other option, of course, then is to be a big fish in a small pond, and that is to go local. That is a lot more difficult because you've got a far more defined audience.
Yeah.
It might be a geographically defined audience. It might be a country audience. Or it might be an audience that is very niche, as I mentioned, the rock climbers or something along those lines. You will automatically, not automatically, it will be a much easier to get a higher search engine ranking. So that'll help in terms of your marketing costs. And the downside of that, of course, is that you have a much smaller potential market.
Right.
But you can be a bigger fish in a small pond.
Right. So again, it's up to that specific SME making this decision.
Yes.
And I would imagine it's trial and error, right?
Except that if you're going to go global,
the
strategic consideration up there is that you've got to have the .com website.
Okay. So very important, actually, what Cameron's saying. So that's sort of one of those decisions you can't wait for later.
No.
You've got to figure out real early when you're starting thinking about e-commerce, whether you're global or local.
Yeah. So many people will tell you once you start, you can always evolve, and you can do that, but that does cost a lot of money. And also, you've built up an audience on a certain website, on a domain name that's local to the country.
Mm.
And to then go and start a domain with a .com or .net website, that's going to just, you're going to lose a whole lot of people unless you get them to come across. So just, these are strategic considerations that you've got to take theoretically before you start your business. But if you want to, you can always backpedal and you can fix
it. Okay. Validating your strategy with keyword search.
So this is something that a traditional retailer just cannot do. Okay.
Right.
And this alludes to the lean startup methodology. So any potential SME that wants to start up an e-commerce business, who wants to start up any software related business, must read the book called The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. It is a fantastic methodology that can be applied not only in this environment, to a lot of other environments.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of technology people, the techies, they tend to be perfectionists. And this breaks that rule. And we'll go into the MVP later on. But the brilliant thing about having a keyword research functionality or the ability to do keyword research, you can do that on any search engine. And you can get immediate feedback as to say, what is the response likely to be on something. It could be how to be a beekeeper in Africa. You know,
yes.
You can see you might want to write some blogs on that and generate some revenue out of that. You can see immediately what people are looking for and where they're doing their searches in terms of what countries they are, what the kind of searches that they are doing. There's some fantastic benefits to that. You can determine, is there a market for this?
Mm.
What are the competitors doing? Are there competitors in this particular niche? Can I do it better? Do I have a differentiator that I can bring into this particular arena?
So that is interesting. So what you're saying, Cameron, is that all these storefronts that we're talking about are actually in one major big virtual mall, and we can actually be doing research on those storefronts just by the mere case that we have an internet connection and we can search.
And we can do Google, we can do word searches and determine whether those searches are, do they pop up? It could be something that nobody knows anything about, although everything is on the web, on the internet these days. So.
Awesome. Okay, so great. So Cameron, what I'm hearing you say then on keyword research as a summary, you have an opportunity that traditional retailers don't have, make use of that.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Monetization strategies. We touched on this, but I really am interested to know more.
Okay, so before you start your business, you should have a fairly clear idea of how you're going to make money out of your e-commerce business.
Yes.
The traditional sense of I'm going to buy something at a cost price, and I'm going to resell it at a higher price, and I'm going to make some profit out of that. That is your traditional retailing store. Okay. There are other ways of generating income. Passive income is a topic that is probably something that can be discussed in its own right.
Yeah.
How to earn passive income, how to earn income while you're asleep. these are options that you have as a web-based retailer
yeah.
that the traditional bricks and mortar retailer just cannot do.
Because they've got they close their doors.
They close their doors,
yes.
Okay. And who cares how many people looks at the shop front?
Yes.
Okay. They can't sell those eyeballs to a potential retailer,
yes.
Potential advertiser. So there's things like online courses, and that could be the likes of how to, you know, how to be a beekeeper in Uganda, or how to do anything, you know, that you feel that you have an edge, you have a particular knowledge that can differentiate you from whatever else is out in the market. And of course, whatever you can bring online, you've got to bring the other factors in as well, the other four P's. This is really how to monetize your product. Okay, and the big issue around this is going to be promotion. We'll go into that in the last module on this particular subject.
Yeah.
The other thing is affiliate marketing. Now, this is really about earning commission on click-through. So you attract eyeballs to your website, and you have advertising on that, and that also has the AdSense is also another way of generating income. If you get customers clicking through, or your eyeballs clicking through from your website into and buying product from another website, and you get
right.
it might be a very small commission, but
right.
a very small commission of a whole lot of stuff
right.
earns you some decent money.
Yeah.
And then of course ebooks, where you can earn passive income. If you are a writer,
yeah.
go for it. Write a book, publish it. There are many, many websites out there that will tell you how to publish your own book. You don't have to go the traditional route of publishing a book. Where the publisher then ends up taking the bulk of the royalties
That's
and the
right.
profits, you as the writer can actually do it yourself. I've just read a fascinating piece this morning on a South African rock singer by the name of Karen Zoid. I don't quite know what her music is like. I think it's quite horrible. But she ended up, she ran a program on television, and for 12 weeks in a row, she was the number one seller on iTunes in South Africa with different songs that she had playing on that particular episode, that particular
wow.
evening.
Yes.
So she used various means of promoting her
yeah.
product through various social media channels, but also obviously she had a huge amount of eyeballs on the TV station, but then was available immediately. Those songs were available immediately because they were pre-recorded shows, and people saw the show, liked the songs, could go to iTunes and buy the song immediately, and she trended. She was number one for 12 weeks in a
wow,
row.
That is incredible.
Okay.
I remember another example. We this is one of the African countries, Kenya to be exact. There's a farmer who started just needing to read the weather patterns for his crop. And he started sharing with his farmer friends. And his farmer friends started sharing with their farmer friends. And he eventually got somebody to build him an app to test the weather patterns, the soil conditions, etc., etc. He now has 120,000 subscribers on here. Those farmers pay nothing to have the app and use the app, but all the money comes from all those who sell seeds and who sell compost, etc., etc. So that's another example of where the SME have really changed the way that, you know, making money.
Yeah, so that is a classical affiliate marketing
yes.
Model.
Yes.
So he has local knowledge that the advertiser that's, or the seller, the wholesaler selling the seeds has got no clue because the
that's
seeds
right.
wherever they made or
that's right.
propagated have no clue about the local conditions over
yeah.
there. But he has a differentiator
yeah.
and that is local knowledge of the climate and the soil conditions. So
yeah.
that is a classical affiliate marketing type
of
how to make money on the internet.
Fantastic. So on this topic, as SMEs, there are different ways of making money. It's not only buying a product, marking it up and selling it. That's what Cameron is teaching us. So really consider your pricing and how you're going to monetize. I think that's what you're telling us.
That's a very key. It could also evolve as...
Yeah.
Your example earlier on
yeah.
about the 25-year-old guys, they now attract a huge amount of eyeballs, so they can use it for other and make money in other ways.
Yes.
What happens a lot of the time as well, what our SMEs should be thinking about is that they are probably going to gather a huge amount of data,
yeah.
and over time that data could have hold a lot of value mm-hmm. for other people
mm-hmm.
that need intelligence, business intelligence, so they need to aggregate that data, and they can then start selling that data
yes.
or that information, not individuals' personal information, because
that's right.
personal, there's laws about against
yeah.
that, but they can say trends, okay, so
correct.
It could be in Uganda in the summer, this sells a lot better than in the winter in Uganda, or something along those lines. So it's
powerful.
The stuff that they can, that they have data of, that they can end up then packaging and reselling.
Cameron, you're making a good point, because that's not like somebody who completes a survey and it could be qualitative in nature. Mm. It's real quantitative stuff. This person bought this at this time in this geography.
It's real research.
Yeah,
it's not what might happen, what they think is going to happen. In normal surveys is that people, you know, they just say, yeah, I like lollipops. Meantime, they've never had one in their life. So this is real information that can be sold. So that is a key consideration. Understand, and Microsoft have got fantastic technologies and build on the Azure platform, and you've got Power BI, etc., where you can take your data and you can really start packaging it and selling it as a product in its own right.
Yeah.
There are companies, especially the large retailers, they are in a position where they can sell information through their loyalty programs that make them a lot more money than the cost of the loyalty program.
Yes. Very, very interesting. So bear that in mind, SMEs, when you are thinking about setting up an e-commerce business, think about the information that you're gathering and what you could potentially do with that. The next one is minimum viable product.
So this is another unique consideration that the online retailer has the ability to consider this, that the traditional retailer hasn't. And this alludes again to the Lean Startup methodology that is written about by Eric Ries.
Yes.
If you haven't read it, SMEs, you need to read it.
Yeah.
Eric, E-R-I-C, and Ries is R-I-E-S. Get the book, it's available online.
There we go. Yeah.
And so minimum viable product is really, it is at a point where you can sell your product, and it has a lot to do with software technologies. So you can sell a product. It could be a game online. It could be a mobile app, a mobile game. Sell it. It could be built over a weekend.
Yeah.
And if it works, you know, and then you get your early adopters to give you feedback. No, this works, doesn't work. Try this. What about this and that? Sort of thing. Your early adopters will be quite happy to give you that feedback, because they feel they're part of the journey and part of your product development. So you don't have to be a perfectionist in this, in developing an MVP. In fact, it's totally the opposite. It breaks the perfectionist mold totally and allows you to ship a product that doesn't have to be necessarily 100% correct. Okay.
Yeah.
And in any online business, in fact, any business, earning your first dollar is exceptionally important. All of a sudden you've now arrived.
That's
okay.
Right.
Potential venture capitalists can say, okay, that is a key step to any new venture, is that they've made their first dollar.
That's
also
right.
For your confidence, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And your first dollar is always your hardest dollar. After that, it becomes a lot easier.
That's right. And that's good advice. We often find working with SMEs that, as Cameron says, they want the product to be 100% perfect. The reality is that your product will never be 100% perfect. So you might as well start earning your first dollar and get your early adopter clients or customers to help you develop that product and make them feel part of the journey. As Cameron says, it often works. Let's talk about websites and the website's personality. You alluded to that right in the beginning.
Okay. So your storefront, your business needs a storefront, and in this case, of your four P's, the place is your website. So it needs a certain personality. I mentioned early on that it can change, but it needs to have some level of consistency so that customers are not confused and say, when I came here last week, it looked totally different. So things like fonts, so design elements are very important. So you can do the design yourself, or you can get a proper designer to come and do the design for you. But you need to have a website that is easy to navigate, that the customer knows is secure, that has got all the elements in the back end that I've mentioned earlier on, the payment portals, etc., a returns policy and process, etc., that's important. Okay, so the fully fledged business is really important. Okay, so we're going to be talking later on about the other two P's, product and price, and then later on the last module is about how to accelerate your business, and that is really about promotion. So your website, where most people end up spending a huge amount of time on, and it's actually wasted time, although the likes of the websites like Amazon, etc., they spend a huge amount of time, and they've got teams of developers just to make sure that it is easy and etc., they can track you. But in a startup environment, you just do not have the luxury of that. So
correct.
get it up and running, and make your first dollar, then you can start tweaking and making it pretty.
Right.
But it's functional functionality is very important.
Yeah. And I think what you've mentioned, and now I'm speaking completely as an online customer, when I'm on a site and I'm buying online, I really want to always know what the size of my basket is, the value of my basket, so it needs to be visible for me. And I don't know why I'm automatically pointing top right, but interestingly enough, my eye wants to move there and I want to know how much I'm going to be in for. Secondly, I'm really always just aware of the verification of the secure portal. So I always want to make sure I see a recognized brand on there.
Yes.
And then the way I shop is interesting. This may be a female-specific clothing shop thing, but I want to be able to scroll downwards. And there's one particular retailer, I'm happy to mention the name in South Africa, Zando. They're actually online clothing retailer. They actually give you what you have viewed, your last couple of views. So you can actually compare, if I'm in the market for buying a dress, I can compare my last six dresses to see which one. So it's almost like I'm in the actual physical store and holding the three or four dresses in front of me. So those are some of the things as an online shopper that I experienced firsthand.
And those are also elements that are available to the online retailer that are not that simply available to the bricks and mortar retailer.
Yes.
Things
yes.
like comparing six dresses at once,
yes.
you know, or
exactly.
even having, knowing what your the size of your basket is,
that's
and
right.
it's generally speaking on the top right hand corner. So that's why everybody goes to the top right hand corner.
Quite right.
Okay.
Quite right. Okay, so very interesting. So what you're saying is get it up and running, make sure it's functional, make sure it's secure, but don't wait till it's perfect, because then you'll never make your first dollar.
Absolutely.
That's
it's really your storefront.
Yeah.
You've got to get people into your store first, and once they're in your store, product and price, and that is going to be very important. We'll discuss that in the next module.
Fantastic. So just on a wrap then, and I just want to take the 5 points that we've gone again. So going local versus global, we've got to consider that. The keyword research validation, which is awesome that traditional retailers don't have. The monetization strategy, make sure you understand how you're going to make your business. MVP is important, and this website's personality. In wrapping up, is there anything you want to add for thinking about starting on an e-commerce mission before we go into the next module, which is growth?
So there are many resources available to the potential e-commerce retailer, and you must just go out and find them and use them. Don't go and develop your own payment portal. There are plenty out there, just go and plug and play them, okay? And use the resources that are available to you, because it's going to save you time, which is a critical resource, and it's going to save you money, which is another critical resource.
Yeah.
So go out and use the resources that
yeah.
are available to you and compile your website accordingly.
Yeah. Fantastic advice. Don't go and build your own. Use what's available. And then on that point, there's some additional resources that we've put on the slide for you that you can go and check. Cameron's mentioned a couple of times about the Lean Startup methodology. They've got, it's really a whole movement. It's fascinating and it works. So make sure you check it out. Or how to build, launch, and grow a profitable online store. There is a lot of information on e-commerce business and doing it in a cost-affordable way. And then there's another link here, 3 steps to launch your first e-commerce website from Forbes. It's been fascinating, Cameron. I look forward to our next session of the growing section of your business. For those who have been with us, make sure you catch the other two on e-commerce or e-tailing for Grow and accelerating your business. And then for those who have really come to this module by chance, if you want to get an overview of it, there is a module also to give you the broad strokes of e-tailing. Until next time, thank you.